Could we turn this afternoon for a few moments and look at a portion in chapter 33, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 12. And of Benjamin he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." It was this little portion that one had on his heart. Here we have Moses, who is blessing the various tribes of the children of Israel before his death. And as I look down through this chapter, I can't see any brighter blessing than what we have right here in connection with Benjamin. And I realize that this perhaps has to do with Benjamin's earthly blessing, and it's in that respect a temporal blessing, but I believe here we have truly an indication, a bright indication, of what our blessing is as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We learn here that the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, in Romans 1, he referred to them as the beloved of God. And as I look around this hall this afternoon, I do believe that I'm looking into the faces of those who are beloved of God. How wonderful it is to enjoy his love for us. And this love that he has for his people is truly uncalled for. It's divine love, unconditional. And we live in a day when we hear of hate crimes and what bitterness there is in the world today. People rising up against others. And the newspapers truly are filled with violence, corruption. But how wonderful to know that in the midst of this dark day in which we live, that you and I are beloved of the Lord. God the Father, he spoke of his Son as his well-beloved Son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Lord Jesus is referred to as the beloved. Over in Ephesians 1, we are accepted in the beloved. And God sees you and I as believers in his Son in all the beauty of Christ. Christ is beloved, and so are we. In fact, we learn in 1 John 4, as he is, so are we in this world. And may we never lose sight of this fact. Truly, there are difficulties that come into our lives. But you know, all is designed of God for the blessing of the believer. All things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say that all things are good, but they work together for good. The end purpose that you and I can see from this verse is that it's only good that results from that which is happening in our lives. Because of the love of God for you and for me. The Lord Jesus could say, as the Father has loved me, even so have I loved you. And then we learn over in John chapter 17 that the love wherewith the Father loves his Son is the love that he has for you and me. I mean, this is wonderful. When we enter into how God views the believer, we are indeed beloved of the Lord. We have known and we believe the love that God has for us. And we learn there in 1 John 4 that perfect love casts out fear. A brother some years ago, he asked me, as we attended a conference there in Corner Brook, Newfoundland, he says, now in that verse, the perfect love, does it refer to my love for the Lord? Or does it refer to his love for me? Well, I think you already knew the answer to the question. I said, the perfect love is the love that God has for you and for me. But he said, I wasn't brought up that way because he had been brought up in a religious system where they taught that the more you love God, the more he'll love you. And if you love God perfectly with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, then you have nothing to worry about. But does that deliver one from fear? No, it doesn't. But what delivers one from fear is the fact that I have a Father. Father God, who loves me with a perfect love. And I don't have to worry about the future because all will be well. And you can say the same. We're coming to the close of this millennium, and many wonder just what will happen at the turn of the century. You know, what's going to happen 12 o'clock, December 31st, midnight. Well, I don't know just what's going to happen. There may be disruption of services and maybe the power will go out. But there's one who is still in control and who loves you and I with a perfect love and is able to take care of our need, whatever the future holds. So we may wonder about the future, but we don't have to worry about it. And in Philippians 4, we're exhorted to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I think that's beautiful. You know, even as we ask the Lord for something, we can give thanks because we know that on account of his perfect love for us, the answer that he's going to give to this particular request, it's going to be for our very best. And so we can, with thanksgiving, let our request be made known unto God. Yes, we have a God who is both willing and able to meet us in whatever need we may find ourselves. You know, by nature, we're not like that. The other day, I saw on the ground a little bird. This little bird was very much alive. But I could see what had taken place. I looked up and there was the nest high in the tree, and this bird had fallen down. And there it lay at my feet. And as I looked at that little bird, I really wanted to be able to do something for it. But there's no way I could reach the nest. I wanted to help it out. The best I could do was to put it on the table and hope that maybe the mother bird would be able to do something for it. But my heart went out to that little bird. I was willing to do something, but I couldn't do it. In other words, I couldn't do what I wanted to do for it. But it wasn't too long after that I happened to see a spider. And this spider, there it was in the bathtub, and I could see what was going to happen. The water was going out, and the spider was caught in the flow, and it was about ready to go down the drain. Well, I could have done something for that spider. I was able, but I wasn't willing. And it disappeared. But the point I'm seeking to make, dear ones, is that, you know, in our own experience, sometimes we're able, but not willing. And other times we're willing, but not able. But we're talking about one here in this portion that is willing and able. His love is just as great as his power, and it knows neither measure nor end. One who is all for you and for me, and that is the Lord himself. The beloved of the Lord. Now it tells us here, shall dwell in safety by him. How we all like to dwell in safety. We all appreciate security. Now Benjamin, as he looked back, could think of a time when the only place of safety for him, for his family, was inside of the house where the blood had been applied to the doorpost and the lintel. And this was the place of safety. Because God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, as I look about here this afternoon, I would trust that most, and I would like to say all, are secure because you are under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ, of which that Passover spoke of back there in Egypt so many years ago. How wonderful it is to know that the blood of Christ, it cleanses us, it justifies us, it brings us near. We who once were afar off, we've been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. We've been brought right into company with the Lord himself. And so, you and I are safe in Christ. And we can trust him for whatever may befall us as we pass along life's pathway. The Lord will never leave his own. And how comforting that is. It's wonderful to be by him. The Lord's desire is that we should enjoy his company. We have been saved not to go our own way, but that we might follow the Lord Jesus, that we might walk with him. And this is what brings happiness into our lives, when we walk in step with the Lord Jesus. But how wonderful that even when we walk out of step and perhaps we get ahead of the Lord, we hear a voice behind us telling us that this is the way, walk ye in it. So, I don't believe the Lord will ever let us go. And it tells us here that the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. Now, the picture that comes before me in this statement is a mother hen who gathers her brood under her wings and hides them there. I heard one time about a mother chicken who was there in the yard, and the man went out and he looked, and the chicken was motionless, like a statue there on the ground. And he went over, and here it was dead, but when he knocked the mother bird aside, here were all of its chicks underneath that mother bird. And apparently what had happened was a weasel had come and had latched onto that hen and had sucked the blood from this mother hen. But you know, those little chicks, they were safe. You know, dear ones, you and I, we can enjoy shelter in that way, under his wing. And how wonderful to realize that if the enemy is going to attack you and I, first of all, he has to deal with the Lord Jesus. If there were an enemy to come and to attack those little chicks, first the enemy must deal with the parent bird, with that mother bird. Well, we know what the outcome is. The enemy of our souls is already a vanquished foe. We learn that from Hebrews 2, that through death, the Lord Jesus has destroyed him who has the power of death, or has annulled his power, and he has delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And there under the wing of that mother bird, those little chicks, were safe. We're safe. The Lord Jesus would desire to gather you under his wing. But maybe there's somebody here this afternoon who is not safe in Christ. You don't know what the future holds. You're concerned. And well might you be concerned if you are outside of Christ, because there is salvation in none other. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In looking over Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he wept as he yearned for those people out there. He could say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a mother, or as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, and you would not. You would not." It's pride. It's stubbornness that keeps people away from that blessed and only Savior. I trust that this afternoon there's no one here in that category. And you know those little chicks under the mother's wing, they can too not only feel the warmth of that position, but the heartbeat, you know. They feel the heartbeat and they can hear it. How nice it is to be close to the Lord Jesus, as it were, to feel his heartbeat in love for you and for me. I think John was one who was in that class. You know, John was one who he lay on the bosom of the Lord Jesus. And he delighted to speak of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. 5 times he speaks of himself in that way. And I believe John was one who brought out in a very wonderful way the love of God, the love of the Father, as manifested to this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could write, "No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son that dwells in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him." John enjoyed the love of Christ for him. And that's what we need to keep before us. It's his love for us. Peter, on the other hand, he had a great love for the Lord, but perhaps he thought too much about it. And it even led him to oppose some of the things that the Lord said. You know, the Lord said that all would be offended because of him. But Peter says, even though all are offended of thee, yet will not I be offended. And in that way, he contradicted what the Lord Jesus had to say. I think he was thinking of his love for the Lord. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have love for Christ and how important it is. But I do believe the important thing is that we focus on his love for me. Because if I'm thinking about his love for me, it's going to lift me out of myself. If I'm thinking about my love for him, I might get discouraged or I might get puffed up. And you know, when Peter boasted, then there was a problem that resulted. But John, he was enjoying God's love, the love of the Lord Jesus for him. And here in connection with the blessing of Benjamin, Moses says, "The Lord shall cover him all the day long." You know what we have here? We have here 24-hour coverage, 7 days a week. It's around-the-clock coverage. It's far better than what this world has to offer. How wonderful it is to be in this secure place. Under his protection, around the clock. The Lord Jesus, I believe it's in Matthew, he could say, "I am with thee all the days." All the days. I think that's perhaps the correct translation there. How good to know that when we get up in the morning, and if it's not a very bright day, perhaps the sun isn't shining and it's raining, the Lord still loves me. He loves you. And he has promised to go with us and to meet our need, whatever it might be, throughout the day. And it says here, he shall dwell between his shoulders. Benjamin shall dwell between his shoulders. Here we have strength. We have love in this verse in a very wonderful way, but I think we have it combined with strength. and power and love, they combine in our blessed and precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. The shepherd, you know, when he found that sheep there in Luke 15, it tells us that he takes the sheep and he puts it upon his shoulders, place of strength. And it was brought out a couple of weeks ago very nicely, and I hadn't noticed it. But we never read of the shepherd putting the sheep down there in Luke 15. It's true, the shepherd carries the sheep all the way home, but it never says he puts it down. I enjoyed that. So we have an all the way home Savior, dear ones, one who will never let us down. One who, as it were, carries us. Now, how much strength or energy do you have to exert if you're being carried by somebody? Not very much. Not very much. You leave it to the person that's carrying you. You know, in ourselves, dear ones, really, we are without strength. We have no wisdom of our own. We have no strength in ourselves. But how wonderful to commit ourselves to the one who is all-knowing, all-wise, ever-loving, and has the strength, power to do anything for us. The Lord could say, "Is there anything too hard for me?" And the answer comes, I think it's there in Jeremiah 32 perhaps. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. So perhaps you're faced with a situation that it just seems overwhelming to you. But it's not too hard for the Lord. Why not commit it to Him? Acknowledge your weakness. That's one of the hardest things to do, is to acknowledge that I don't know just what to do. Don't have the needed wisdom for this situation. You know, the flesh doesn't appreciate that kind of an attitude. And the great ones in this world, if they were to adopt this kind of attitude, they wouldn't be in power very long. But you know, that is the way for you and I to go, is to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus, He has the answer, and to commit our way to Him. We learn Psalm 37, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." He's greater than all our sins, and He is greater than all our cares. The Lord wants us to trust Him not only for the salvation He has to deliver us from our sins, but also to recline on Him and trust Him for the difficulties of life, the cares of this life. And over in 2 Corinthians 12, we learn that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. In our weakness that He has opportunity to demonstrate His power. It's wonderful. Yes, man's extremity is God's opportunity. He shall dwell between His shoulders. Here we have the blessing of Benjamin. And does this blessing come to Benjamin as a result of his own performance? No. And that's how it is with us, dear ones, this afternoon. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Why? Because of what we have done? No, it's because of what He has done. We ought not to be thinking about what we are for God, but what He is for us. And I believe that's important to see the position that we have in Christ is not based on our own efforts, but it's based on the sovereign will and grace of our God. How wonderful this is. We are saved not by our works, but according to His own purpose and calling. You see, this is the work of God. And when we enter into this, our position, because of the goodness of God, then the practice ought to flow. We ought to want to do just what would be pleasing to Him because of what He has done for us. But you know, sad to say, it's not always the case. In connection with Benjamin, if you read over in Judges, I believe it's chapter 19, 20, and 21, Benjamin has committed a most dreadful deed. It's on the level of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not going to give detail about it. But the behavior of this tribe was most repulsive. Sad, eh? When you think of the blessing that God had for them, and then to see them in this state. Well, dear ones, this speaks to my own soul. I believe the way to walk for God is not by becoming occupied with myself and what I'm doing, but it's occupation with Christ. It's occupation with the Father and what He has done for you and for me in His marvelous grace. And if this doesn't stir us in a path of that would be pleasing to Him, I don't know what will. So I just read these few words here, just by way of encouragement, that we might realize that you and I believe we can enjoy in our own souls the fact that the Lord, He loves us, we are beloved of Him, and that we are in a secure place, dwelling in safety by Him. We're under His protection, under His cover all the day long. And He's taking us all the way home to glory. And there we are, as it were, carried on the shoulders of the shepherd. And as we think about this, may it be that which motivates us in a path that would be pleasing to our God, to our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.